kitchen and helped himself to whatever treat she'd cooked for that day, or simply argued with her, refusing to do what they're told as they glared at her. He really didn't appreciate the fact that she used that sigh on him. Not at all. He would have glared at her, given her the same glare that the boys gave her. But unfortunately at that moment, he couldn't open his eyes, so he settled for a small, disapproving grunt that she simply ignored. "We need to find some fresh water," she announced, as she took his hand into her much smaller one and gave it a slight tug that forced him to get up and stumble forward. "Just give me a minute, Minx," he said, using his free hand to try to rub his eyes clean, but it was only making it worse. "We don't have a minute," she said, with that damn sigh again, as she continued dragging him through the woods, giving him no choice but to give up on trying to rub the spray from his eyes, and forcing him to try to keep up with the woman determined to drag him to his death. She really was a bossy little thing, he thought, as he was forced to bite back a grunt of pain, as he was forced to walk on sticks, stones, and briars. As he bit back another pained grunt, he considered asking her to stop, but he knew his wife well enough to know that there was no point in arguing with her. It didn't matter that they weren't sure where they were, or that she was only wearing his shirt and jacket. If his wife was determined to do something, and apparently she was, then there was nothing that he could say or do to stop. "Oh, no," Elizabeth said on a gasp. "What?" he asked, as she practically dragged him through the woods. "He's back." "Who's... oh, shit," he said, just as they were hit a second time by that little bastard that he should have killed. Chapter 10. Oh, thank God it was all over, she thought, struggling not to give in to the need to run to the house, throw open the door, run upstairs, and dive under her covers, and stay there until this whole trip became nothing more than a distant memory. But she couldn't do that, not without hurting Robert's feelings. There was also the small problem of Robert's death grip on her hand that was stopping her from achieving her dreams, and the fact that he was dragging her towards the woods and away from the one thing that promised to end this nightmare. "Where are we going?" she asked, even though she had a pretty good idea. "To the lake," was all he said, as he continued to lead her across the backyard, confirming her worst fears. It really wasn't over yet. Then there was also the fact that it was well after midnight. It was dark out, cold, and she really wasn't looking forward to a dip in the lake, knowing that it was ice cold and would probably kill her, or at the very least, lead to more misery. She thought about arguing with him, but she knew that it was pointless. First off, he was determined to do this, so that meant more arguing, and possibly resorting to kicking him in the shin, which of course would lead to him throwing her over his shoulder, marching down to the lake, and throwing her in the lake. Then there was the fact that they both reeked of skunk, and that Mrs. Brown would probably throw them out of the house and ban them from entering the house until the last lingering scent of skunk was long gone. She really wished that they'd never gone on this trip, she thought, biting back a sigh that promised to start another argument, and right now, she really didn't think that she could handle an argument. She was terrified that she would say something that would make him hate her. She was also afraid that she would come off sounding like a spoiled brat, something that most of the people in her town thought she was, simply because her father was a member of the pier. She loved their new home, and even the town, but she hated the fact that they thought so poorly of her simply because she spoke with a British accent and had been fortunate enough to have been born into a wealthy family. Not that she'd told anyone about her family, because she hadn't. No, that information had been shared, thanks to James, and his good intentions. A few weeks after she'd given birth to the boys, James had dragged Robert down to one of the local taverns and had argued and begged Robert to return to England, because James had assumed that she couldn't handle living in New England, dealing with the harsh weather and running a household without a decent staff to help her. She knew that he'd only been concerned about her well-being, but that knowledge hadn't saved him when she found out that he'd had a little too much to drink and had shared his concerns loud enough for half the men in town to hear, who, of course, felt it was necessary to share this information with their wives, families, and friends. She knew that most of the people didn't care, and hadn't let James' rantings affect their opinion of her. But the ones who had seemed to go out of their way to remind her that she didn't belong did. "Stay here," Robert said, letting go of her hand, leaving her standing near the barn as he quickly made his way inside. Before she could ask him what he was doing, he was back with several blankets and a lantern. He took her hand, continuing to lead her towards the woods that she had to admit that she wasn't looking forward to taking a stroll through in the middle of the night. "We need to get this scent off us before we go in the house," he said, as he led her through the woods on the familiar path that they'd taken so many times before. "I know," she said, not sounding too happy about it, even to her own ears, which of course made Robert's jaw clench. At least, she was pretty sure that his jaw clenched, but it was a little hard to see with only the light from the lantern casting shadows on his face. She considered asking him if he was angry, but quickly dismissed the idea, since she knew damn well that he was angry. He'd worked hard to bring her on this trip, and it had been a disaster from the start. It was, without question, the worst trip that either one of them had ever been on, and it wasn't over yet. As soon as she got to bed, she was planning on staying there for a week or two. She really couldn't remember ever being this exhausted before. All too soon, they'd arrived at the lake. Without a word, Robert placed the blankets and lantern carefully on the ground and removed his pants. He tossed them aside. Before she could stop him, not that she really thought that she could stop him, he was pulling off her coat and shirt, tossing them aside and leading her towards the water. Too exhausted to argue, and wanting to just get this over with, she went with him, deciding that it was best to get this over with so that she could put this trip behind her and finally get some sleep. He was so fucking tired. All he wanted to do was climb into bed and hold his wife, but unfortunately, the dip in the cold lake and the bar of soap that they'd scrubbed their skin raw with hadn't completely killed the odor. So now they were stuck climbing up the ladder to the hayloft above in the hopes that the scent of hay would help cover the disgusting odor clinging to their skin. He followed his wife up the ladder, careful not to drop the lantern or lose the blanket wrapped around his waist. When she quietly unwrapped her blanket from around her and placed it on the ground so that she could curl up on her side, he knew that he was in deep shit. He'd brought her on this horrible trip that didn't seem to want to end, and not once had she complained, yelled at him, or even bitched about it. She just simply took it in stride as it came, acting like she was used to this kind of bullshit, and that seriously pissed him off. Had she expected such a horrible trip from him? Was that how she saw him? Since the day that he'd married her, well after he'd fucked up, he'd busted his ass to make sure that she had everything that she needed, and now he had to wonder if it hadn't been enough for her. Glaring at her back because he was too exhausted and too pissed to say anything without starting a fight, he pulled the blanket off, lay down on her blanket, well away from his wife, and threw his blanket over them. Still glaring at her back, he narrowed his eyes on her, ground his jaw so that he wouldn't say anything that he was going to regret, and rolled over onto his side, facing away from her. It was the first time since they'd made a truce that he hadn't curled his body around hers and held her. Hell, it was the first time that she was in bed naked with him, and he wasn't trying to get between her legs. As much as he wanted her, and God, did he fucking want her, he was too pissed to try anything tonight. His plan was to lie here, glaring into the darkness as he allowed his anger to fester. He wasn't going to say anything now, not when he was this angry. But tomorrow morning he was going to groan very loudly as he suddenly found himself pushed onto his back and his wife's very talented mouth wrapping around his cock. They shouldn't be doing this, he told himself as he reached down to pull her off his cock, but instead found himself cradling the back of her head, enjoying the sensation of her tongue gliding down the underside of his cock. Christ. He'd never met a woman that loved sucking on his cock as much as his wife did. She seemed to crave it, needing it more than him. A few times he'd actually thought she was going to come from sucking on his cock. It made her so fucking wet and tight, nearly making him lose it on the first thrust. She was angry at him, he tried to remind himself. But at that moment, he could honestly say that he didn't give a damn. It felt too good to think about anything else. Mmm, she moaned softly as she suckled on the tip of his cock. Oh, hell, he groaned loudly as her mouth slid down his cock, which earned him another moan that vibrated through his cock and down to his balls. I thought you were mad at me, he suddenly, and very stupidly, found himself asking. He silently cursed himself for ruining everything when her mouth slowly slid off his cock, releasing it with a small moan that the tip of his cock really appreciated. Why would I be mad at you? She asked, with a coy little smile as she shifted so that she was straddling his waist. The trip, he said, almost in a daze, as he found himself staring at the thatch of hair between her legs. God, she was already so fucking wet, he thought, as he hungrily licked his lips and reached for her. She came willingly, casting him a coy smile as she shifted until she was straddling his mouth, already knowing exactly what he wanted. He didn't make her wait, simply because he felt like he was going to die soon if he didn't get a taste of her sweet pussy. Groaning, he cupped her bottom and pulled her closer as he leaned up and licked her slit. She tasted amazing, he thought, as his cock jerked in approval and his tongue went in for another taste, greedy for more. As he ran his tongue through her slit, she rewarded him with another one of those moans that he liked so much. Oh, God, she moaned, panting slightly as she shifted on top of him, desperate to feel his tongue slide inside her. But he refused to rush this. Are you mad at me, Minx? He asked casually between licks. For what? She asked, sounding a little distracted and confused as she reached up and cupped her breasts for his enjoyment. The trip. Why would I be mad at you for the trip? She asked, panting loudly as she continued to shift on top of him, desperately seeking his tongue. Because it was a nightmare, he admitted, rewarding her with a swipe of his tongue over her core. Wasn't your fault, she said, finishing with a moan as she stopped shifting so that he could slide his tongue deep inside her. Yes, it was, he said, when his tongue slid out of her wet, welcoming sheath. No, panting. It wasn't. It really was, but at the moment he was too busy to argue with her. He slid his tongue back inside her and stiffened it so that she could ride his mouth. She did with absolutely no hesitation, damn near making him lose it. You feel so good, Robert, she said, further testing his control. He rewarded her with a flick of his tongue that... Oh, shit, he groaned, as her sheath suddenly tightened around his tongue and she started screaming. He needed to be inside her, would fucking die if he didn't slide inside her soon, but he didn't move. He laid there and took it, as he gripped her ass and forced her to ride his tongue harder and faster. She tasted so fucking good. Oh, Robert, she moaned, riding him harder, desperate for more. Oh, Robert, Then she was screaming his name as she went still on top of him, her sheath tightening around his tongue, threatening to break it off, but he didn't give a damn at the moment. Before she'd finished screaming his name, he had her on her stomach and was sliding into her throbbing sheath. So fucking good, he groaned, as he enjoyed her wet sheath's final contractions, squeezing his cock as he slowly thrust inside her. Oh, God, she gasped, just as a second orgasm hit her, completely destroying his control. He reached down and wrapped his arm around her waist, pulling her up just far enough so that he could freely fuck her. He tightened his grip around her as he placed his free hand on the ground and used his hold around her to keep her where she was so that he could continue fucking her hard. Oh, God, Robert, she said, moaning and whimpering as he slid inside her. Love you, Minx, he groaned long and loud as her sheath greedily held onto him and her large breasts bounced against his arms with every thrust. I love you too, she managed to get out as he pulled back and slammed back inside her before she was screaming his name again. This time he happily joined her, panting and licking his lips as he came inside her. When he was finished, he dropped on the blanket beside her and pulled her closer. He kissed the back of her damp shoulder as he closed his eyes, more than ready to finally fall asleep and put an end to this horrible trip, when she said something that instantly woke him back up.
"Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you something," she said, still panting as she pushed back, so that she was closer to him as she announced, "I'm pregnant."
Epilogue. "I love you," he whispered, as he softly kissed her, savoring the taste of Mrs. Brown's famous blueberry pie as he slowly slid inside her. With that devious little smile that he adored so much, she leaned up and returned his kiss as she tightened her arms around his shoulders and used the move to wrap her legs around him. "Do you want to go inside today?" he asked, praying that the answer was no as he continued to thrust inside her.
"Not just yet," she said, smiling against his lips as she added, "Maybe tomorrow."
"Or the day after that," he threw in, hoping that she would go for it, because he wasn't ready to leave this barn yet. For the last week, they'd stayed in the barn, sleeping, talking, and making love all day and most nights. It was crazy, but he just couldn't seem to get enough of her. He was definitely putting a proper bed up here for their trip next year, he decided the other night, when he'd rolled over and had a hard piece of hay lodging itself in a place that it definitely didn't belong. Christ, he really couldn't wait to do this again. For the first time since they'd married, he could finally devote himself to her without any distractions. He could make love to her whenever he wanted, without worrying about the boys walking in their room or Mrs. Brown catching them, since the woman seemed to go out of her way to drive him crazy. In his opinion, a man should have the right to bend his wife over the dining room table and fuck her whenever the need arose, but Mrs. Brown felt differently and made sure that he knew it. He'd lost count of how many times he'd been forced to pull Elizabeth into a closet, their room, and the barn, just so that he could enjoy her body without Mrs. Brown finding them, but not this past week. He'd been free to make love to his wife whenever he wanted, with absolutely no worries, since everyone knew better than to step foot in his workshop without permission. It really was the perfect spot, he decided, making a mental note to find more ways to get her up here in the future. Definitely needed a bed, though, he decided with a wince as another piece of hay poked through the blanket and stuck him in the knee. Elizabeth moaned softly as she began to kiss her way down his neck, making him lick his lips as he pumped inside her. She felt so damn good. He could happily live the rest of his life inside her. "I'm hungry," she said as she teased his neck. "I'll go see what Mrs. Brown has cooked today," he said, not mentioning that he planned on helping himself to it, since they both knew what he was doing. But he felt it was important not to tell her too much, since there was always a chance that Mrs. Brown would catch him. He just couldn't bring his wife down with him, especially now that she was pregnant again, he thought with a smile. Another baby. He hoped this one was a girl with Elizabeth's beautiful eyes and generous heart. Then again, he'd probably wind up in jail in a few years after he killed every man that dared to look at her for too long. He already knew that she was going to be a soft spot, and he couldn't be happier. He'd buy her pretty dresses, dolls, and have tea with her every day, making sure that she knew from the start that she deserved to be treated like a queen, so that she wouldn't settle for some fucking loser that he would be forced to kill. Then again, if he sent her to a convent, "Do you think she made bread and honey butter?" she asked, making him laugh because the cravings were already starting. "I'll tell you what, if she hasn't, then I'll sneak up to our room, get dressed, and go into town to get some for you. How does that sound?"
"Would you be willing to get me some stew from O'Malley's to go along with it?" his greedy little wife asked against his neck as she shifted her hips to pull him in further.
"If that's what you," he started to say, when all his plans for the future were shattered.
"Robert Bradford, you and I need to have a talk," Mrs. Brown said,
earning a terrified squeak from his minx as she shoved him off, grabbed a blanket, and dove behind a pile of hay.
"And you as well, young lady," she said firmly, letting him know that they were both in serious shit. "It wasn't Elizabeth's fault. I," he started to explain, only to once again get cut off by the woman who seemed hell-bent on driving him crazy.
You need to have a talk with your sons, she said, not sounding particularly happy about it.
Not that she ever sounded happy, he reminded himself, as he grabbed the remaining blanket and wrapped it around his hips.
What did they do? He asked with a heavy sigh, wondering if he was going to have to apologize to someone or fix something.
God, he really hoped not, because he needed to get back inside Elizabeth soon, or he was afraid that he would die tragically.
Look down, Mrs. Brown practically snarled, piquing his curiosity.
Holding the blanket in place, he walked closer to the edge and looked.
Oh, hell, he said when he saw them, his sons grinning up proudly at him, while Mrs. Brown, who was covered in what looked like the paint he'd left in the basement, glared murderously at him. I suggest that you have a word with your sons, she said tightly, as she released the boy's hands and walked away, but not before she added, And I know you're pregnant, young lady, so I expect you in your bed within the hour to rest.
It didn't surprise him when Elizabeth didn't respond, since she was probably trying to convince herself that Mrs. Brown hadn't just walked in on them with their boys, no less.
What do you have to say for yourself, boys? He asked, trying to suppress a grin when the boys shot him a mischievous smile.
We love you, Daddy,
they said in unison, making him chuckle, even as he shook his head and sighed.
Yeah, he definitely wanted a girl this time.
Present day.
And there you have it,
Uncle Jared finished with a flourish as he sat back in his chair, looking quite pleased with himself, she noted, biting back a sigh that would only make him start the story all over again. Darren nodded firmly as he said,
We'll wait,
earning a glare from her because there was no way that she was going to wait to go on their honeymoon, not with three babies on the way. After they were born, it would be years before they got a chance to go. As excited as she was about the babies, and oh God, was she excited, she also wanted to have a little alone time with her husband before their lives were filled with dirty diapers and mixing up formula. Uncle Jared nodded, smiling as he stood up.
Glad to hear it. Thanks for coming by, Darren said, getting to his feet so that he could walk his uncle out
while she sat there, glaring at his back. She continued to glare, even when they disappeared around the corner. If he really thought that she was going to let Uncle Jared scare them off from doing something that they'd been looking forward to over more Bradford bullshit. They were going, and that was...
We leave for Boston in 2 days. Have your beautiful ass ready, Darren said, as he strolled by the living room and headed for the kitchen, where a big plate of brownies was waiting for him, making her smile.
She should have known that he'd handle Uncle Jared, she thought with a chuckle, as she grabbed the remote and turned the television on. She settled back and...
That fucking bastard ate my brownies!
This has been an Audible Studios production of Truce's Honeymoon from Hell, written by R.L. Mathewson, performed by Mackenzie Hart. Executive producers, Rena Eyre and Mike Charzuk. Copyright, 2015 by Rerum Industries, Inc. Sound recording copyright, 2018 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.